Hundreds of childhood sexual abuse survivors have come forward since August, when New York State opened a one-time, one-year window for victims to file civil lawsuits against their alleged abusers. Many of the accused are Catholic priests, some are Boy Scout leaders, or school employees. But as WXXI's Beth Adams reports, a lawsuit filed in Rochester this week may be the first of its kind.
And I just start here and sort of go through these buildings.
Rick Bates is driving through an apartment complex on Eastbrook Lane in Brighton. He's describing the paper route he had in 1982 and 1983. Bates claims he was repeatedly sexually assaulted by a supervisor for almost a year when he was a paperboy for the Democrat and Chronicle.
So I'm filing a suit against Gannett to hold them accountable for the conditions they created that left me and other paper boys alone. We got up and worked for them at 5 a.m. in the morning, made them money, and they left us alone with a predator.
Bates says he was 11 and 12 years old when the alleged incidents took place. Once a week, a district circulation manager from the Democrat and Chronicle came to his apartment to meet with him, checking on the paper route and any overdue subscriber payments. That manager was Jack Lazaroff, the man who Bates accuses of sexually assaulting him.
The first time I remember, he came into the house, and it was really quickly after I had started working this job, and he would have this roll of paper, and you remember this sort of dot matrix print paper that had like the tabs you'd rip off on the side, and it had all the different accounts on it, and he put it on my lap, and I remember, you know, very clearly him putting it on my lap and then his hand going underneath the paper and him, starting to sort of fondle me over my clothes.
Bates said he froze and did nothing to try to stop Lazaroff.
And I think that did two things. It made him feel like he could do whatever he wanted, and he started to. And it was the beginning of me, you know, really sort of hating myself for not doing anything about it and not stopping him. So it went on from there, and it became a very regular occurrence. He ended up sort of doing more than that, and doing it regularly.
According to Bates, he was molested by Lazaroff dozens of times until he quit delivering papers after almost a year. A police report he filed in Brighton in September describes sexual assaults taking place in the living room and basement of Bates' home and in Lazaroff's car. He claims Lazaroff paid him an extra $5 a week for what Lazaroff called their arrangement, and that Lazaroff knew how to find time alone with him when Bates' mother was working.
Every afternoon that I knew he had a meeting, and eventually we also had meetings on like Saturday mornings when he would drive me around. But I remember this feeling in my stomach, this like terrible, like warm feeling, knowing that he was going to show up.
Bates' lawsuit against the Democrat and Chronicle claims the company knew or should have known about Lazaroff's alleged actions and should have protected the children he was supervising. Jack Lazaroff is not here to deny the allegations. He died in 2003 at the age of 74. Bates wrote to the Democrat and Chronicle about a year ago detailing his story. He said he was first contacted by a human resources executive from Gannett's corporate offices in Virginia. He then received an email from Michael Kane, chief operating officer of local markets. In the letter, Kane commended Bates for his courage and expressed horror over the painful experiences he described. Kane wrote that he had no reason to doubt Bates' story, but said given the passage of time and Lazaroff's death, there was no way to independently verify the claims despite diligent inquiry with people who worked at the paper at the time, including circulation department managers. But a former Democrat and Chronicle employee says he remembers an unsettling incident involving Lazaroff. Mark Adamski worked with him in the mid-1980s. Adamski's job was to pick up stacks of newspapers at the Democrat and Chronicle each morning and deliver them to paper boys. He also had a paper route of his own. Adamski recalls what happened early one morning when Lazaroff pulled into his driveway in the city of Rochester to pick up money Adamski had collected from subscribers on his route.
He had a young boy in his car with him in the passenger seat, and the seat was all the way down. The boy was prone. He was laying down. I went over and said, are you okay? And I had already given Jack the money. And he turned over, turned away from me, and he had a look on his face like he was really sad or ready to cry or something. And then Jack got the heck out of there. He, like, squealed out the driveway and left.
Adamski did not know who the boy was, but said he assumed he was a paperboy. It was before dawn, and he said it wasn't unusual for Lazaroff to join newspaper carriers on their routes, especially if they were new to the job. But he never reported the incident, and now says he feels guilty about it.
I wish I had called the police or called the paper or something, but I did nothing.
City newspaper has located court records indicating that Lazaroff was charged in Penfield on August 11, 1988, with second-degree sexual abuse. That is a misdemeanor charge related to the sexual abuse of a person younger than 14 or unable to give their consent. Lazaroff pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of disorderly conduct on April 26, 1989. Bates says he never told anyone about what happened to him until he was 19. That's when he confided in his then-girlfriend, who he later married. He is still haunted by his years of silence. When the abuse was allegedly happening, he says he felt stuck.
After the first time it happened, I didn't know how to go back and say this happened once, and I didn't stop it. You know, boys are supposed to be tough and supposed to, you know, be strong, and I wasn't in that moment, or I didn't think I was. I realize now I was just 11.
Bates says the guilt and shame have tormented him for decades. He attempted suicide multiple times, first in high school, and contemplated ending his life as recently as a year ago. But then something shifted his focus. It was a comment from his wife. She asked him why he wasn't fighting back. When Bates learned about passage of the Child Victims Act earlier this year, he felt it was finally his chance to seek justice.
I want to make sure that if there are other companies or other businesses that are, you know, in this situation where they've got young kids working for them, maybe this can help them understand that you have to be as cautious and focused and concerned about those kids as you can. If there are kids in that situation and they hear this story, and, you know, maybe it will help them realize I should go say something. And certainly if there's someone doing this, I hope they hear my story and they realize, you know, what you're doing. You may like it in the moment, but the echoes that this has through a lifetime is incredible and incredibly bad.
Neither the Democrat and Chronicle nor Gannett have responded to our request for comment. For WXXI News, I'm Beth Adams.